on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest, Paul Ferdinandson of San Jose, California, 91 years old, but I've got to be honest, I wouldn't want to go toe-to-toe with this wiry veteran of World War II. He served with the 84th Infantry Division in Europe. We're going to hear about the Battle of the Bulge and what he was up to around Christmas time in 1944. But Thanksgiving that year was pretty unforgettable, too. You were right along the Siegfried Line near Muhlendorf, Germany.
When we made that attack, it was pretty stupid. And in one of the history books, this is alluded to. It doesn't mention our company or platoon by itself, but the wording, we know it's our company. There at our battalion headquarters, there was a historian from the 9th Army. They go around, you know, and taking notes and stuff like that. And then they write a, turns out to be a book about the army or the division or something. He was there when this happened on Thanksgiving Day. He said, this is one of the stupidest things I can believe, that they would order virtually defenseless soldiers to attack pillboxes on a town with no tanks because it was mud. We were just up to our ankles practically.
And all you guys had were rifles.
All we had was rifles.
But they're dug in with pillboxes, some machine guns.
Yeah.
They're defended, and you were going to go straight at them.
Straight at them. From the pillboxes that we had captured, there was a small town called Muhlendorf. It was out there 200-300 yards, I think. And on the left side of the railroad track, there was two pillboxes, and on the right side, there was one. Well, our platoon was to take the left one, and we got the order to go. And our captain refused to give the order. He said, this is too stupid to do this.
He didn't want you guys to all get killed.
No. He thought it was an impossible. We couldn't have tanks because tanks couldn't move
right
in that mud. It was just walking, sloshing through the mud right at it. And that's when a machine gun bullet or it could have been a rifle bullet went through it. My pants leg, but on we went.
And you got to those pillboxes.
We got to the pillboxes, and why the Germans weren't there, they could have destroyed us. But my thinking about the situation later was that they thought that there was going to be a larger group behind us, which was actually, it was planned that K Company, once we had taken the pillboxes, we were to signal with a smoke bullet that we've got it secured, and then K Company was going to come through us and take the city, or the small village of Muhlendorf. But we got to our first pillbox, and the Germans weren't there, which we were very lucky. I took the lead out in front because I preferred to be there. I don't know why, but I would rather be in front than following, mainly because I felt they would go too slow. Another fellow and I, we slid down into that big dugout that is alongside the pillboxes so you could get into an entrance to the pillbox, which is below ground level.
And you say you got lucky there was no one in it. And
yeah.
That wasn't a guess or an educated estimate. That was just playing a crapshoot, wasn't it?
It was a play because I went up to the entrance and hollered to surrender and threw a hand grenade into the interior. Never any sound. And we went in a little bit and saw it was vacant.
So there are a lot of things working together here. A, the Germans didn't believe you guys were dumb enough to come that way. They thought if you came, you'd have to come on the other side. So that's where their defenses were geared. So you sneak up on them. You happen to choose the pillbox that's unoccupied. So then that gives you a strong protected position to continue attacking the Germans from. Do I have that right?
Yes. K Company Wilson would come through, I think it was 15 minutes after we got there. They were timed to do that. Well, we got there, and on the town side of the pillbox, I'd never seen that before, but there was a ground level room that was about 4 foot wide and about 6-7 feet long, and there was three apertures facing the town. Most of the guys were inside, and I know we had only one or two outside in the dugout waiting, looking for K Company to appear. There we were. K Company never shows up. And we were supposed to get the second pillbox. Well, we only had maybe a spare 12, 13 men to go after it. Then we had been in that area now for hour and a half, 2 hours. K Company never showed up. So I talked to our sergeant, said, K Company's not showing up. Why should we even bother trying to take that other pillbox? Let's get the hell back. We're just stuck on it. Oh, what had happened. The Germans had pulled up a 88 tank evidently in the town and started shooting at that room, which was reinforced with about 10 inches a foot of reinforced concrete. And the Germans started firing, and it started to blow the thing up. And if a shell had entered one of those apertures, well, that would have wiped everybody out.
You wouldn't be sitting here right now.
No, no. That's when I went and talked to our sergeant who had been wounded. But I said, why don't we, let's go back. There's no point in it. We have our strength was facing the town with those apertures, and we've lost that. Let's go back. So he agreed to me. He thought that made sense. So it was getting dark, and we sent one person at a time back and carrying the wounded first. And I was the last one to leave. I'd just sit on the safe side of the pillbox and just shoot my rifle into town just to make believe at least we're doing something.
Now, wasn't it in that pillbox also, though, that your hand grenade training and experience came into play?
Yeah, and I skipped across that. I think there was a guy at each aperture with a rifle. I was standing in the doorway to get in there. The guys at the aperture said, they're coming, they're coming. There was about 15 Germans with dark uniforms. We figured they were figure a special unit. Rushed us. There was a barn on the edge of town, and it had only taken them about 8-10 seconds to get to the pillbox, and there was no activity that we were showing, so they thought maybe we were not paying any attention anymore. So they rushed. Our soldiers were shooting at them and killed two, three of them. The rest of them got to the edge of the pillbox, and when that happened, a soldier that was standing by me at the doorway whispered, there's a German just right opposite you. Without even thinking, I just grabbed a hand grenade, pulled the pin, let the handle fly off. Now I had 3 seconds for that thing. And I counted 1,000, 1,000, 2, and reached around and flipped it up in the air. That spooked the Germans. They couldn't figure out what the hell happened. And then they sprinted back. I always wondered for a long time, why did I do that? That whole episode from the time they came to the pillbox till I threw the hand grenade, everything didn't last more than about 15, 20 seconds. It was all that fast. I'd wondered for years, how do I have the guts to do that? But then I read an article in a Time magazine when it was talking about how people can do things like that. In our case, in the military, it was training. That time I had spent throwing a live hand grenade came into play. But for me to do that, well, it was a perfect thing to do.
Well, yeah, it saved your life.
Well, it saved all our, because the Germans that had gotten to the pillbox, if they had tossed hand grenades in right away, it would have been over.
Yeah, they missed their opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. It was just our luck.
So you reach around and you flip that hand grenade up, and it kills the German there and scares the rest of them away, so it saves all your lives.
Yeah.
And I go back to the training when the guy said, well, if you have the guts, and you said you didn't have the guts.
Yeah.
This time in the heat of the moment, you had the guts.
Didn't even think about it. It was just reflex action.
And explain to everybody listening why you held on to it so long, because that's a major point here.
Oh, that's true. Well, that reached around and flipped it. He had maybe 3 seconds to pick it up and throw it away or kick it away or
throw it back at you.
Or throw it back at us. That's why I held it.
So in all your years after the war of coaching, did you ever play hot potato with your athletes?
No. I don't think, never.
You're there in that pillbox, you're playing a high-stakes game of hot potato.
Yeah, I sure was.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it killed that soldier till now. We brought more people out from in the pillbox, even though it was pouring rain and mud, set them around the edges. Then one guy went over and looked where I'd thrown it, and the German was dead there. So that's how I knew it killed him.
Well, I know all the rest of those guys in that pillbox were thankful that you acted the way you did in that moment. So you guys survived that. So I'm keeping score here. You've had an 88 shell knock you off your feet. You've had a bullet through your pants leg. You've had that close call at the pillbox. I think you also had a bullet that you actually felt touch your nose at some point,
too.
Oh,
yeah, that happened at the pillbox that we had just taken.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think from the angle, it was one of our soldiers.
And that happens, too.
I didn't know. And I felt the bullet just touch my nose, and I said a bunch of bad words and ducked down.
Yeah, and literally dodged another bullet. And you say it was one of yours. You did see friendly fire take American lives, some of your guys killed by Allied artillery fire. Mm-hmm. And you keep trudging along, and this winter is coming on in Europe. And, of course, everyone knows the Battle of the Bulge famously was the worst winter that continent had seen in forever. Yeah. And you experienced almost all of the Battle of the Bulge. You guys were sent in just a couple days after it started, I believe.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. When we pulled back on Thanksgiving, we reorganized in Geilenkirchen and were moved to another sector. The war was, at that point, was just kind of stagnant. The Germans made that attack in the Bulge, and we were down there before the Germans ever got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another story in itself, really, because this happened right at Christmas time. We were deployed to stop their advance on the 19th, which was pretty wonderful how quickly our military reacted to it.
Even if you were one of the guys who might have to pay with it.
Oh, yeah.
Pay for it with your life, and you came close a few more times.
Yeah.
And there were some more harrowing moments that you've recounted about those days, and some of them involve seeing some of your buddies wounded, and you even got to the point where you put your life on the line to try to save his, evacuating a wounded buddy with guns firing at you.
That was 26th of December. We'd made the attack on the 24th.
Hard to forget that Christmas, huh?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself every Christmas thinking back to those
days?
Oh,
yeah. A lot of times at night, I wake up 2-3 o'clock, and I'm awake for about several hours almost every night, and much of that time is spent reliving those experiences.
70 years later, you're still dealing with that.
Yeah, oh yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder. I got that real bad right at the end. I'd always led all the attacks, and I felt that was my job, and I did it. But right there towards the end, the rumors spread that our division was going to be sent back and then going to be in on an invasion of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you. In the evenings, I'd go out there, the tears would just roll down my cheeks.
Wow.
Because I didn't know if I could lead anymore. I felt I might just go to pieces.
Well, it takes a toll, huh? And you'd seen other guys go to pieces, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And tell me about the circumstance. I believe it was a fellow soldier named Hank who had been wounded pretty badly on his backside.
Oh, yeah, on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
There was a German tank in that small town, Verdun. Name of the town is Verdun.
Right.
It's a village, and it's rolling country, and Verdun is kind of on top of one of the rises on the ridge there. We attacked on Christmas Eve. Again, that was a sniffer. I don't know if we should bother leading up to this attack, but it was supposed to take place about 8 o'clock in the evening, but we didn't attack until around 11. There was a 3-hour gap because of a big screw-up. Anyway, we went through the town. I'd instructed the squad leaders to go independently through town as fast as they could go, because we were supposed to dig in on the far side, dig foxholes, and then another unit's supposed to come through and take the town, because the Germans had just kicked out Americans who had that town the day before. It's a fairly important strategic place town. We were to take it back. There was a German tank in the main drag, about the only street in town. Hank got shot in the butt. I always claimed that if he didn't have such a big butt, it would have missed him.
Sure, he appreciated that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he always felt I saved his life, but that's not true. I just helped.
I'll tell you what, why don't we let the listeners decide after this break? I'll have you share that story, and we're also going to learn how Paul Ferdinandsen ended up getting a prestigious medal pinned on his chest by England's most famous World War II general. The rest of Hometown Heroes right after this. You know I love it when patriotic businesses put their money where their mouth is and find ways to give back to veterans and today's servicemen and women. So when Clint Sorensen, the general manager at Fresno Acura, asked me if I could pass on their big news, all I could say say was, sir, yes, sir. Maybe you already knew that locally owned Fresno Acura had a military appreciation offer, but I bet you didn't know that that offer is being doubled between now and June 2nd. Not $750, but $1,500 toward a new 2014 or 2015 Acura. From the subcompact luxury sedan to Acura's line of SUVs that redefine affordable luxury. If you're on active duty, in the reserves, the spouse of someone who is, or you're retired from the military, consider it Fresno Acura's way of saying thank you for serving our country. With the best resale value in the industry, your Acura will have you riding comfortably for a while. And you'll be helping World War II veterans get to their memorial in Washington, D.C., because Fresno Acura has decided to make a generous donation to my favorite project, Central Valley Honor Flight, for every vehicle sold while this special lasts. Now that's what I call supporting all generations of our servicemen and women. Go see my friends at Fresno Acura on Palm, just north of Herndon, and tell them you heard about it on Hometown Heroes.